There are needs that are all around us. And I thank you, Lord, for the Wiersma family that right now their root is in you. They're grounded in you. And when something happens to disturb our life, when we lose a loved one, we thank you, Lord, that we can fall upon you, that you're there for us. And your good grace is always there to support us in our times of need. So I pray for them, and I ask you to lift them up in their time of mourning. And I pray for Sheila as well, that you just touch her, Lord, at the loss of her mother. She's journeying down to the States, and I pray that you give her journey's mercies and let her light shine. She knows it in her family, and she has many family members that don't know you. So I pray that that's what always happens at funerals, Lord. We lift up the name of Jesus, that somebody in the midst of all that sorrowing would find you and uncover the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray for her right now that she could be a light and be with her as she sorrows the loss of her mother. And Lord, as we come to this nation of Canada, all around us, we smell death. God, it's a nation that needs you. God, the roots of Canada are far, far greater than what we see now. God, we're asking for a move of the Holy Spirit. We're asking, God, that you would send a wave of the glory of God to turn us. Repent, Lord God, to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in this nation of Canada, Lord, that we just need to see you move, Lord God, from sea to sea, Lord God, from the rivers to the north, Lord God. We just want to see you move, Lord. Touch our prime minister. Touch our cabinet members. Touch every part of our parliament, Lord. Plant people in there, Lord, that know you, and put them in any area of our governments all across this nation of Canada, that we would see a rising up of the glory of God, that people would turn to you, Lord. It's not just about the church, Lord, but it's about people planted in strategic places that know you, Lord God, that are going to turn this nation. It's when people gather in workplaces to pray. It's when people gather in the back rooms of Parliament to pray. It's when things happen, Lord God, that we will see a move of God. So we thank you for our nation of Canada. We're proud to be called Canadians, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you've poured upon us in the past, but we're expecting great things in the future until you come. So we ask your blessings upon the nation of Canada. And now as we just turn to your word this morning, Lord, be with us, Holy Spirit. Guide us, lead us, and let every one of us just feel your presence. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for being here this morning. I'm sure that there could have been beaches calling to you or some warm climate or whatever, you know, but you chose to come to church, and I'm thankful that you came and that you're hungry for God. Amen. You are hungry, right? Amen. Just want to confirm that. Thank you, Pierre, for the last two Sundays while we're away. And I've heard a lot of good reports. Of course, I knew there'd be good reports anyway because he's a good guy. Amen. Good preacher. And he's been doing it for many years. He knows how to do it, and the Holy Spirit has used him in many ways. And so I'm very grateful for you to do that for us. And for others who carried the weight in the services the two Sundays while we're gone. It was great to get away, but it's always good to get home. Thursday night, Betty and I went out to see the mother's dog's name is Hershey, up at the Red Dog Canine Center up on Sarsfield Road, just outside of Ottawa, and we're getting our little doggy on August 4th. And so anyway, we had the opportunity to go out and see Hershey's pups. There's 11 of them, and they were all over the place, and it was fun. They told us to sit down on the floor so we wouldn't be picking up and dropping them, or they wouldn't be climbing on furniture. So anyway, I was down there for a while, and I finally got up. Those two cushions is where I was sitting before. I wanted to get up and get a picture of Betty with those dogs all running around her. But anyway, they're just cute and adorable. They're golden doodles. They're small, and they're wild. They like to bite. They like to lick. They like to pee. They do all kinds of things. So anyway, we're looking forward to the day we pick up our little dog on August 4th. Some people have been asking, how was your vacation? So I just want to let you know how we were. This is the, I don't know what you call them, a yacht, boat, ship, humongous thing, whatever it was, and we were on that boat for from Sunday to Sunday. We boarded the boat on Sunday on the 23rd, got off on the 30th, and it was a great time. You know, Betty and I were talking while we're on. I don't know if any of you have ever been on a cruise, but while we're on the cruise, we kept looking at each other and we said, you know, I don't know if I'm a boat people or not. Not relating myself to something in the past about boat people, but I don't know if I'm just a cruise type of a guy or not. You know, on a boat, you are so restrained. Like you're away, you can't go like, hey, there's somebody just went by, or there's a mountain over there, I want to go see it. And now they're just going on by it. And, you know, all you get to do is take a picture. You feel restrained and restricted. It's kind of like, you know, when we went down, anybody know where Grand Manan is in the Bay of Fundy? That's where our son found a girl to marry. And so we went out there for the wedding, and we had to take a ferry across to the island out in the Bay of Fundy. And it was real fun because Betty didn't like it. That's why we were kind of holding off on any cruise, because she was getting a little seasick on that ferry. It was a little rockier, a little smaller boat than what you see there. But it was a trip out there. But the boat, you know, goes out, starts 6 in the morning, stops 6 o'clock at night. And we're on that little island, and that last boat leaves at 6 o'clock. Have you ever heard the horn of the ferries? At 6 o'clock at night, and I looked at Betty and I said, we're trapped. We're on this island. We can't get off till 6 in the morning. You know, it's a different feeling. You have to be there to understand what I'm talking about. But it's kind of like the cruise ship, you know, and when we pulled away from the Seattle Harbor, and there was an elderly gentleman out on the docks there, and he had a saxophone, our room was on the harbor side. So anyway, he's there while the ship is pulling away, just playing away. Then he'd play about 4 or 5 lines, and he'd wave at us, and we're all on the boat. Like, I can't believe I'm waving at some guy I don't know. That, you know, he's playing the saxophone, and there we are going along. And anyway, it was great. We had a good time up there. This is a picture from our room. Some of the glaciers, the mountains. I mean, you can feel God when you get up there. Like, you know, it might be hard sometimes looking around Cornwall to feel God, but when you get up there and you see the mountains and the glaciers and the majestic and the beauty of it all, it was so wonderful. And that was one of the shots I got. And here's another one. There's a glacier. You can see it in behind us over there. I took it on. We were on the top deck of the boat. Sorry, Betty, that I chopped off your mouth. You know, but anyway, those are some of the pictures that we had on the boat. We saw the glaciers and all that. It was great weather. 26 degrees in Juneau, Alaska, 26 degrees in Skagway, and the girl that drove our bus at Skagway, she says, you know, really in Skagway, when you get up in the mountains, there's like a mist, and there's clouds and all that. She says, but, you know, 26 degrees, like, basically, we never see weather like this or sunshine like this. And I'm sitting there saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, and it wasn't because we were there. It's because Jesus was there and wanted to bless us. And so we had a good time. Like I say, you know, when that cruise boat pulls away, you just don't know how you feel. When am I getting off this boat? And all those feelings that go through your mind. But I was very thankful for the sessions that we had with Perry Stone. I don't know if you've ever heard him, read any of his books, but God has anointed this man in a great and powerful way. We had great times there, and he was dealing with the prophetic. He has a real grasp of the scriptures through Hebrew and Greek, and God is using him greatly. And I met some good people there. You know, there were 615 Christians on this cruise boat, and it was wonderful to be there. And on the cruise boat, they always have these times when you have to practice evacuation in case there should ever be a fire. And so they sound off the alarm, and they go down, they put the lifeboats out into the water, and they stand at your station. And Betty and I had to go to C3. Like, everybody's, where's C3? Where's C3? You know, you're going through, and you're looking for this place. Good thing there wasn't a real evacuation. But anyway, we got down to C3, and wouldn't you know it, we're in a bar, you know, where we had to wait. And we all sat around, and we had these tags from Perry Stone. We had them around our neck, and we had ours on. And all of a sudden, another couple came over in the bar, and they were coming to C3, and they sat with us. We had a lovely time with him. His name was Troy. He's a spiritual advisor to President Donald Trump. what a conversation I had with him, and some of the things that are going on in the United States and some of the demonic attacks on him as a president and the Republicans as they stand for the Word of God. And I don't know how you stand for President Trump or not, but what he shared with me is that he's doing a lot of good things for Christians in the United States, which I believe is overflowing into Canada. And so I was really enjoying our conversation while we were at our evacuation point. Also on our ship, we had a great steward. His name was Lito Habana. He's from the Philippines, and he came down, and of course, on our tags, it has Russell and Betty, and he'd look at our tags, and every time we walked down the hall, "Hello, Russell! Hello, Betty!" And we got to know him, and we said, "You're a real joyful guy. Like, who are you?" And we said, "We're here with Perry Stone." He said, "Oh, you're here with Perry Stone?" He said, "I'm from the Church of God in the Philippines. I'm born again, Spirit-filled, Pentecostal." And I said, "Oh, praise God. We got somebody on our floor that's doing some great things." And we had conversations with him every day. He was a real great preacher guy. And he's got a wife, Irene, and daughter, Brianna, back in the Philippines. We said, "When do you get to see them?" He said, "After 8 months." He works on the boat for 8 months when the cruise season is on. He doesn't get to go home and see them until after 8 months. And we said, "Wow, you are really going through a lot." And he says, "Yeah." I said, "You sacrifice." He said, "Well, he's got a degree from the Philippines in college, but he couldn't find any job there. And so this was all that opened up for him. And so he's on the boat." And I said, "It's really, really cool having you as our steward on our floor." And I asked him, "Do you get many Christians on the boat?" He said, "Well, sometimes we do." But he said, "I'm very grateful that Perry Stone is here with all these people, because floor 11 and 12 was basically all the Perry Stone people. And he was the steward on floor 11. And, you know, he said, told us one day, he says, I go through the Bible and I find everything with 11 and 12. Like he said, I went to Romans chapter 12, verse 11, and it said, "Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." He said, "That's what I do." He said, "I thank the Lord." And he says, I know that you'll like this one, because I like 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. It says, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." So it was kind of neat to have this guy cleaning our room and looking after everything. So we were really blessed in all that happened there. Each day on his phone, he brought up a new scripture and showed us. He said, "This is my scripture for the day," and he would read it to us and give it to us, a new scripture every day. And it was really a lot of fun. I was asking, "Are there any other Christians on the boat?" He says, "Yeah, there's about 40 or 50 of us workers in the boat here." And he said, we get together and have church. And I said, "When do you have church?" He said, "Well, after we're finished all our work." He said, "About 11, 11:30 at night." I said, "That time of night?" He said, "Yeah, we usually go to about 2:30, 3 in the morning." I said, "Yeah, but you're here at 6, 7 in the morning." He said, "I know." He said, "But I love church." And we go to church and we have that. And it was kind of interesting, because Perry Stone took one of the nights and went down and spoke with the workers on the ship. And it was really interesting, good to hear about all those things that happened down there. You know, I found that some real good things for me, which were gave us confidence when we were out in the boat at Psalm 107, verse 29. "He calms the storm so that its waves are still." It was kind of a good scripture for me to have. And then John Newton, who, if you know anything about John Newton, the slave trader, I used to go from England down to Africa and bring back slaves. And his quote is this: "If the Lord be with us, we have no cause of fear. His eye is upon us, his arm over us, his ear open to our prayer, his grace sufficient, his promise unchangeable." Amen? Good things to hold on to you when you're out in the Pacific Ocean, right? Hallelujah. So anyway, Perry Stone gave us some real good sessions. On the 23rd, we met with everyone, and it was kind of like a meet and greet time, and Perry Stone kind of introduced our whole week of what was going on. On the Monday, the 24th, we had a great session in the morning. What a message that he preached to us, and a powerful message that he shared with us. And then we all went back to one of the restaurants. He had one of the restaurants all booked out. We had his 60th birthday party there, one of the restaurants, and had a real great time. And on the Friday, he and his wife got up on the platform, and they were fielding all kinds of questions for us. And then on Saturday morning, we had another great message from Perry Stone. So I just want to let you know, if you ever go on a cruise, you know, I don't know about you, but on the cruise boat, there's casino, and there's bars basically everywhere on the boat. And I was, you know, everywhere you go, like, you know, a breakfast nook, there's a bar and everything else. But I just, if you ever go on a cruise, see if you can find something with a spiritual part of it, that you can just kind of, you know, in the midst of all that stuff. And I know that we live in the world, but we're not of the world. But, you know, when you get tucked on a boat and you can't go anywhere and you're all restricted and restrained and all you can see is casinos and bars and everything else, I was very grateful that we had Perry Stone there and had some good messages and good fellowship. And every time we went and saw somebody with a badge on there, you know, it was just great. On some of our trips, we met with some of the pastors and other people and had good chances to share with them. And it was really a wonderful time. So if you ever go on a cruise, get something spiritual in there. It was 60th birthday for Perry Stone, and he turned to his wife and said, "What shall I do for you on your 60th birthday?" And she said, "I've always wanted to go to Hawaii." So she's 58, so in 2 years, they're going to have a cruise to Hawaii. Now, the cruise boat in Hawaii is much smaller, and they said, "Wouldn't it be nice if we booked out the whole cruise boat with all the Christians and just smack that whole thing with all the bars would shut down inside the cruise boat and everything?" Yeah, that'd be good. So, I mean, just keep that in your mind if you ever want to do something to go on that. Amen? On the last day, they had a talent show of the workers on the boat. And Betty and I, like, we were trying to pick and choose the things we went to, and we thought, well, they're just going to have some of the workers in the boat do something. And I asked Lito if he was going. He said, "Oh, no, I don't usually go to those." Anyway, we decided, you know, because our day was kind of dragging, we went to the theater where Perry Stone was preaching before. And we got in there, and they started bringing out the workers. All of them sang or something like that. But one of the workers got out there and he sang, "I Can Only Imagine," you know, by Mercy Me. And I was looking around all the auditorium, all the non-Christians, and I was just praying, "Oh God, let them hear this song and let it just sink into them." And it was so awesome. He got on there and you could tell he was different from the other workers who were singing worldly songs and all that. I like Christian songs. How about you? I like when Christians get up there and kind of display Jesus for a few moments in the midst of it all. Then another guy got up about three people later, and he sang, I think it's Casting Crowns that sings that song. "Who am I? La da 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 da." You know, anybody ever heard that song? "Who am I?" Anyway, they sang that song. This fellow sang that song. Again, right in the midst of all that's going on, good to have some Christian dialect and feeling in the midst of it all. Amen? So that's the way our time was on the ship. So today, because we got on the boat on a Sunday and we got off the boat on a Sunday, Betty and I, we usually go to church even on our vacation, but we didn't get a chance to go to church even though we had a lot of sessions in there. So anyway, I've missed church for the last 2 weeks, so I need to be reborn. Okay? Okay. Maybe you need it too, I don't know, but you can kind of tag along with Betty and I as I kind of get into the Word today. But I was thinking about today, and I've been thinking about this for about the last month, but we as evangelicals or Pentecostals often say that we believe in the full gospel. You ever said that? "I believe in the full gospel." It's kind of like, you know, you've got it head and shoulders over other people out there or something when you say, "I believe in the full gospel." As I think about that term, when we say that, "I believe in the full gospel," it seems like a, could I say a cop-out? Could it seems like it's kind of like a cliche or to make us feel better about ourselves because I believe in the full gospel. You know, it's kind of like saying something. And I wonder at times if we really do believe in the full gospel. I wonder sometimes if we've got the full gospel. You know what I'm saying? You know, we can say all the things and make ourselves look pretty and build ourselves up on the outside and exterior and everything else, but what have we got inside? Have we really got the full gospel? Because when we say full gospel, it sounds like it's all over. Hey, I've got the full gospel. It's all over. But if we really understood what full gospel is, it never ends. Full gospel doesn't have a stop. It never ends. That's the way the full gospel is. And I'm not talking today about adding to the word of God. I know what Revelation says, you shall not add to or take away from the word of God, or you should be added to these plagues in all of the world. And I'm not talking about adding to the word of God. But what I believe is the gospel started, and it's not complete yet, in the sense of what we're doing here, in the sense of what Jesus said, that he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. He built it, he started it, he manned it, he got it ready, and he sent the church out. So in a sense, the gospel is still ongoing. So Jesus was born into this world. He taught many things, went many places, showed many miracles, did all kinds of things which were just captivating for the audiences. Jesus was tortured, he's whipped, he's abused, he's beaten, he's nailed to a cross for all the sins of mankind. Thank God that Jesus rose from the grave in 3 days. Amen? But we're told that Jesus stayed around for 40 more days prior to Pentecost, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father, forever interceding on our behalf. And included in all of this, Jesus informed those disciples of his, those weary disciples, even Peter who wanted to go back to fishing, that there was a promise of the Father waiting for them. Just hold on, church. Hold on. There's a promise of the Father waiting to you. It's very similar to John's baptism in water, but you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Just hold on. It's coming. And this baptism in the Holy Spirit would enable them to transverse from Jerusalem and Judea and to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, the gospel is going to go somewhere, and it's not going to stop until I say it's going to stop. It'll be preached to the ends of the earth. It's ongoing. It's a flooding out. It's a taking out. It's a reaching out. It's a going. And on top of all that, these disciples, prior to Pentecost, were informed of his return one day. They heard his teaching, do not be deceived. Many will come in that day and deceive you. And they heard all the teaching of Jesus that he would come back one day. And they were, just prior to Jesus going up, they were standing there wondering about all the teaching. And it says in Acts chapter 1, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you have seen him go. One day, he will return. Hallelujah. You waiting? You ready? He's coming back. He's coming back one day. It's going to be a second coming of Jesus Christ. So I hope that you can identify with me. The gospel is still going on. It's the full gospel, but it's not full where it can't stop. It's still going. It's not complete. In the understanding that Jesus is coming back one day for his church, for his ruling and reigning in this world. So it's prophetic. It's a prophetic message of Jesus. He will return. He hasn't returned, so what he has said in the prophetic is still ongoing. It's still being done until that day that he comes and completes it. See, when I look at this, you know, it's neat because Jesus is coming back one day for his church. That's you and I. You're his church, right? Amen? If you're his church, say, I'm his church. Okay, just half of you. That's good. But he's coming back for his church, or ruling and reigning in this world, and there'll be no more presidents, no more prime ministers, no more kings or queens, no more dignitaries and all that. Only Jesus will be ruling and reigning. Only Jesus. He will be the King of kings and Lord of lords. And as we read in the book of Revelation, it's still incomplete because Satan, who is bound for 1,000 years, will be released after 1,000 years, and he will try again. That's his motto. Try again, try again, try again. Get more people to follow me. He's released after 1,000 years in that millennial reign, and he starts going at it again, just right at it again, trying to get people to follow him. And still many will not believe in God, yet the gospel is still being preached and lived out in Christians even in that day. And many will not believe, many will not bend their knee, many will not confess the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they will be judged for their disobedience. How many know that? They'll be judged for their disobedience to the King of Kings. And sadly, many will be sentenced to the lake of fire that was not made for them, but made for Satan and his angels. They will be sentenced to that lake of fire. But we know that many in the world today, even today, knowingly or unknowingly, are still following Satan. Yeah, I saw on the news the other day that down in Texas, there's a group of atheists, and they were parading around in an area that really disturbed, because there's a lot of Christian Texans down there. But you know how the saying says, in God we trust. Well, they put up all these banners, in no God we trust. What a blatant thing to put right in the face of God, right in the face of people around. No God, no God. And as I started looking at, wow, so blatant. So in your face. Yeah. Last week when Betty and I got into Seattle on June 30th, the harbor's right in the core of Seattle. And anyway, we got off the boat. You had to be off the boat by, I think it was 9:30, somewhere around there. And anyway, we got right into the heart of Seattle. And wouldn't you know it, as we were let off the boat, right there in front of our eyes, here we are with our suitcases. The Pride Parade is going on right in front of our eyes. You know, it was, after the good teaching, the boat and all that, and here you are just stuck there looking at this. Oh, we saw all these people dressed for the occasion, some dressed kind of scantily and some dressed in the opposite sex's clothing and drag, they call it, and transgenders, gay, lesbians, LGBTQ, anything you've heard of said it was there. And I think Seattle is probably one of the biggest areas for the Pride Parade. Like the whole city was booked out. I'm surprised that we had a hotel room booked, but we booked it long before. But we even saw people in our hotel area that were gay lesbians, and they came for the time there. You know, I looked at this, and I'm thinking, God, you're going to rule and reign one day. All these people are just doing their own thing. Like I looked at the world, and Jesus came for those who are sick. Jesus came for those who are lost. Jesus came for these. And I looked, and you know, the first thing in your flesh is, you know, Seattle seems to be a cesspool of iniquity, as really many areas in the USA and Canada are, I guess. But the iniquities of our world will one day be judged. One day they'll be judged. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. Hallelujah. So I just know that one day, I like Revelation chapter 19, where John says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. We're going to be following him on the horses. Hallelujah. You want to be there? I do. Hallelujah. Praise God. Would you turn with me to John chapter 7? John chapter 7 in your Bible, on your tablet, in your phone, in your paper, whatever you have in your memory, if you memorize John chapter 7. We're living in an hour just prior to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the hour. It's time for the full gospel to keep going just before Jesus comes back. Father, I pray right now as we look at this word, that this word from John chapter 7 would speak to us, every one of us, myself included. As I prepared and I looked at these verses of scriptures, I pray that something would happen, something would jog out of these scriptures to bless somebody, to touch somebody, to teach somebody, to show somebody, to inspire somebody, to do something, Lord, today. We allow you, Holy Spirit, to do whatever you want through your word. We ask that we would have that freedom to receive from you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 7, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Good thing. I wouldn't want to walk with somebody who wanted to kill me either. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. Now, this is kind of like sarcasm, if you can feel this from the family of Jesus. They were not really in the state of believing in Jesus as Lord and Savior. They were probably like Joseph's brothers. Remember, Joseph said, I saw you all bowing down. I saw you all just the way the sheaves of wheat just bowing down to me. And all the brothers said, yeah, right. I believe that, you know, in this family, having Jesus in your family might have been some problems with brothers and sisters and all that, but I can even see it, because even in the next statement, for even his brothers did not believe in him. Then Jesus said to them, my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify of it that its works are evil. You go up to this feast. I'm not yet going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come. When he had said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. Now, I'm not going to go into all the intricacies of this with the feast and everything else. I've highlighted the verse that I just want to capture in moment of this sermon this morning, is my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. Timing is everything in our lives. You had to come here for 10 a.m. The group up here were saying, what time's the service? Claude asked me yesterday, what time's the service start? 10 a.m. I told him, you were right on time. Good for you, Claude. Amen. You were right on time, too. We all live by the clock, don't we? We go by the clock. It's, you know, I've even noticed that many of the cliches that we use in our life have to deal some way with time. Be there in an hour. Or, hold on a minute. Notice that we've always talked about time. Like, we can relate to time. You know, a minute, we understand. Or, just a second. Now, we say those things, don't we? Could you not just hold on for a bit for me? Meet you at 7. We're in a world of time. Timing. And so I really understand that when Jesus talked about this, about how my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. I think he was trying to get something across here to us, because the Bible says that Jesus will return in an hour we least expect. He's giving us the time. In an hour that we least expect. I started going through some of the scriptures. It's really interesting, some of the things that Jesus says, because if you were to go to some of the end time preaching that Jesus talks about in Matthew 24, you would see in verse 36, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Matthew 24, 42, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Matthew 24, 50, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, at an hour that he is not aware of. Matthew 25, 13, watch therefore, for you know not either the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Then you go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus takes Peter and James and John with him and go into that very place. They want to pray, because just prior to Jesus going through all the torture and the cross, he takes these guys into the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, come on in, pray with me. And you know the story. He came back to them and said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? 1 hour. Matthew chapter 10, verse 19, when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. How about the woman at the well in John chapter 4? Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship him, the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The hour is here. It's now. It's the full gospel. And then Jesus alluded to it in John chapter 4, verse 35. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes a harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they're already white for harvest. I think the Bible has a lot to do with timing. As I read through these verses and many more, I ask myself, do we fully understand the times that we're living in right now? Are we risking many things for Jesus, or are we, for the sake of comfort and complacency and compromise, that we just sit back and we wait for somebody else to do it? Because really, timing is everything, because I believe that you and I are alive for right now, for a time such as this. This is our hour. This is our moment. This is our place in Earth's history. This is the very time for you and I to make our mark for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the very moment that we can give something for our God. While we draw breath, we should be doing something for Jesus. Can you say amen? I like the disciples. They're kind of cool people, you know. I don't know if they ever got some things right as they were listening to Jesus and walking with him. It's just like, you know, what Jesus, you know, is taught them all, 3 years, been with them, and there they are, and he's got them right down, right prior to, before he ascends to the right hand of the Father. And as they listen to all this about Jesus and the baptism of John and how the baptism of the Holy Spirit will give them power, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Were they missing it? Did they not hear him? Were they falling away from what Jesus was trying to get? I mean, Jesus came back to them and said, he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the season which Father, the Father has put in his own authority. See, as I look at these guys, they were gauging things by their own timing. And that's like you and I sometimes. Everything is gauged by our time, right? My time. It's gauged by this. Oh, I don't think I can do that. No, I can't go there. I can't do this. It's my time. Everything is gauged by my time. Just like the disciples were doing. And we see that they were missing it. And for one, I do not want to miss what God is doing today. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. You see, these verses in John chapter 7 give us a clue as to what is the difference in Jesus and us. My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. Even though we are told, you know, be more like Jesus. What would Jesus do? And we go through all these things trying to be like Jesus. And even though we go through our mission, even though similar in some extent, we're also contrasted a little bit differently from Jesus. As it says, my time has not yet come, but your time is already here. My time, your time, my time, your time. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? I went back to the very first moment when Jesus came on the scene. If you were going to back the wedding of Cana of Galilee, and even in that moment when Mary, the mother of Jesus, saw the predicament of the wine had run out, they were out of wine, and the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Right at the very beginning of the ministry, he's showing them, this is not my hour. Yeah, I can do a miracle. I could do this. This is not my hour. This is not the place where I wanted to be, in other words. Anyway, she had a lot of faith in Jesus because she just said, whatever he says to you, do it. I like that. Whatever he says to you, just do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. It's kind of like you and I should be taking that motto in our life. Whatever he says to you, do it. No? I think it's pretty good anyway. You see, the timing of Jesus, Savior of the world, has, is, and always shall be in perfection. He came at the perfect time. He came at the precise time into this world. He came into this world as a baby, by the Holy Spirit, a virgin birth. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus. Initially and fully to the end of his 33 years, he was here. Jesus said that his mission was to seek and to save. He didn't come for healthy, but for the sick. And that's basically every one of us. Amen? Jesus came to teach us again of who and what God is all about. Thank God, because people forget who God is. People forget what God is all about. Our world is going around. They don't know who God is. Sometimes you can even ask people, because we're losing generations from not going to church, and you say, do you know who Jesus is? No, who's Jesus? They don't know who Jesus is. But Jesus came to bring them back to that reality. Jesus came to demonstrate the power and the love of God. Jesus came in his time to die for our sins on a cross, put there by those he came to save, by the way. But he laid down his life for those that he loved, his world, his creation. Now that's love. That's love. When everybody spits in your face and everybody blames you and points a finger at you and harasses you and calls you names and everything else and you love them back, that's love. That's love. Jesus came to be placed in a grave like you and I will be one day, but yet he overcame the grave. That's hope. That's hope. We've all got that hope. That's destiny, but it's his time. Jesus came to show us that his place was at the right hand of the Father, and he left there for us. He left the right hand of the Father and came here for us. Wow. What a Savior. What a Lord. He came here for us for that duration of time walking around with his creation. But he returned to that place. And Acts 1 tells us that when he ascended back to the Father, he sat down at the right hand of the Father, forever interceding on our behalf, forever. He's praying for us right now. In other words, God hasn't given up on us. He hasn't given up on us. Thank God. Because it's the time of Jesus to show us he hasn't given up. His time was over on this earth, but ours has started. It's the full gospel time. Jesus said he will return for his church. Primarily, it's in his time. Jesus said there will be a second coming. Do you believe that? A time of dividing sheep and goats. I like what Perry Stone said about sheep and goats. He said, you know, I like sheep in one of his messages. I like sheep because, you know, they're just kind of cuddly little things and they follow you and everything else. But he said the goats, they butt. You know, like they come to church, Pastor, butt. Now, I related to that, you know. But the air conditioning's too high. But the pews are this. But that, you know. Oh, well. Hallelujah. I got a kick out of it anyway. I hope some of you did too. Hallelujah. Sheep and the goats. Jesus, in his ultimate time, will shower us with a new heaven and a new earth. And that will be some time for us as believers. I can hardly wait to get to that place. But that is his time. That's God's time. It's his clockwork. Yet what about us? Jesus alludes to this in John chapter 7. If you were to go through these verses, you would initially view them as Jesus looking at his family and seeing their unbelief, that they stood at a distance, even though being family, they perhaps were not convinced of Jesus as the Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God. But he was interested in getting their beliefs in line with God's, as he is interested in getting our beliefs in line with God today. Do you want to believe like God? So here's our time. Our time is now. It's always ready. It's always ready. This is the time right now. Isn't this interesting? Because right now, this is the time for people to come to Jesus. Isn't that great? I mean, it's an open door. Even though the way be narrow, it's still an open door. This is a time for the church to stop playing around. Because this is a time to get deeper in Jesus. Amen? This is a time to concentrate on the proper priorities in our life. Can somebody say amen? This is a time to allow hunger and thirst of righteousness to rule and reign in our lives. I know it's not an easy road. You know it's not an easy road. It's not the easy way of doing things. This is a time to stop questioning. Do you think we should do that? Do you think we should go there? Just do it. If the Spirit of God says something, just do it. Because I believe that we need to have faith in the Word of God as the sanctified, Holy Ghost-led and inspired Word of God. It's time to stop saying that we don't believe in something but believe. Amen? Praise God. If it says be filled with the Spirit and the Word of God, I think that's a pretty good motion that you and I should take into our lives. Be filled with the Spirit of God. It should mean something to us because it sure means something to God or he wouldn't have put it in print. Be filled with the Spirit. I mean, this is a time to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues. Amen? This is a time, I think, to investigate what it means to walk in the Spirit. And again, get back to Galatians chapter 5 and learn all about the fruit of the Holy Spirit and learn about what we should look like, walk like, talk like, and everything else in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit radiating from us. Amen? This is a time to reach out to the lost, see the state of their lives without Jesus, to have a heart for people who don't know Jesus. It's called compassion. Passion for Jesus. This is the time to prepare ourselves like five wise virgins and get ready for the imminent return of the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come back for his church. This is the time to keep the faith. Amen? As Paul looked back over the course of his life and his last moments on planet Earth, I like what he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith." Hallelujah. That should be all of our testimonies. I love Hebrews chapter 12. I think that Lito even quoted us this one day on the ship that we were there. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with all endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." My time, your time, my time, your time. What are we doing in our time? That's what I get from that verse of Scripture. Your time is always ready. It's always ready. What are you doing with your time? He said he came to build the church, came to get it going, gave us all that we needed to equip that church from what his time was until when he returns. He's gave us everything we need in the church. Amen? We are in what is called the church age. The illustrious church age. Call it a time of dispensation or whatever you want to call it. You know, I really enjoyed Perry and Pam Stone. It was a great time with them. Sorry, the picture's not very clear. It was kind of a dark theater, and not dark, but I mean, it was, you know, it's a little harder to take a picture at a distance. And anyway, but Perry and Pam Stone, they opened the session on the Friday afternoon, our cruise, for questions for both of them. They just said, "Yo, go ahead and ask us anything." Like, you know, it's like me saying on a Sunday morning, "Go ahead, ask me anything." Don't. But anyway, they said, "Go ahead, ask us anything, and please don't ask me all the questions," said Perry. "Ask Pam some things." And so it was a really good time to really get to know this couple, you know, how they met and what they went through. And Perry Stone, he started preaching, I think, when he was 16 or 18 years old, and I guess he was invited to Pam's church there one time and kind of connected in some way. So there were some good questions about all of their personal lives as well. But, you know, as I was listening to that, there was a lot of good questions on theology and the prophetic and that. And there was one person that raised their hand. You know, I was listening to all the questions, but one question really caught my attention. And I wanted to share this with you because I thought it was really unique. And I want to close with this one question to leave something with you to think about, okay? Somebody raised their hand in the audience and said, "What happens if a person, a believer, doesn't believe in the rapture? Will they go up?" I think everybody thought, "Hey, that was a good question. What happens if a person, a believer, doesn't believe in the rapture?" Like, you know, they just, "Oh, I don't believe in that." You know, that's, they kind of write it all off. "Will they go up in the rapture?" So we're all sitting there. How is he going to answer that one? He did a pretty good job, I think. He said, "Tell me, if a person doesn't believe in salvation, are they saved? Will they be saved?" Like, a lot of people tell us, God is a loving God. Everybody's going to heaven, and you know, he wouldn't send anybody to hell, you know, and all this. So I thought, hey, that was pretty good. And he said it's something else. He said, you know, many people today don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They think that the giftings and all those things were for the early church, for the apostles back then, that healings aren't for today and all that. So if a person doesn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, would the Holy Spirit baptize them? I thought, yeah, he's going somewhere here, isn't he? That was pretty good. Oh, he's going along. Then he came to his answer. To be saved, you've got to ask God to be your Savior. It doesn't just happen. You've got to say, God, I accept you. Forgive me for my sins. And that's how you get saved. I mean, every person that I've known baptized in the Holy Spirit comes to the altar and says, I'm seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They want more of the Holy Spirit. They want more of Him. And so they're seeking Him. They're asking God. And we know that. But if somebody says, I don't believe in the rapture, Perry Stone says, now, this is his idea on this all. And I thought it was pretty good. But if you don't believe in the rapture, how could you go up in the rapture? In other words, he said, you know, I believe that there could be people here in the seven-year tribulation that are Christian. Now, I don't know if that does anything to your theology or not, but it's possible. Now, every time I watch some of those Christian movies, they always show the pastor get left behind some of those Christian movies, so I kind of bought into it anyway. I don't know why. But, you know, I don't know why those Christian movies always show that. The pastor's left behind. Congregation's going. The pastor's still standing there in the tribulation. I don't like those movies. So anyway, when he said, you know, there could be Christians that go into the tribulation. And he said, you know, when you think about the millennial kingdom, that you have to think that there will be people, even though they get saved, then there could be Christians there that come out of the seven-year tribulation and go into the millennial kingdom as well. So it kind of opened my heart, my mind, but then it brought it back to the core of it all. Like, I think that you and I, if we read something on the pages of Scripture, this is our time to start delving into it. Instead of leaving it to somebody else to search the Scriptures for us and come up with our idea, we need to search the Scriptures. We need to get our identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be able to stand firm on what I believe, how I stand. I believe in the rapture. I believe in salvation. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe in healing. I believe in these things. You know, I go through the Word of God, and if God wrote it there, it must be something He wants us to adapt into our lives. I think it's for the betterment of the church. If you go to the 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, all the gifts for the edification and the building up of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're saying, well, I don't believe in that, and I don't believe in that, and I don't believe in this, and I don't know about that, and you're standoffish and everything else, but you never search the Scriptures, then I wonder what will happen to some type of people who say, I don't believe in the rapture. I do. I believe in the rapture. I believe in the rapture. This is the day, the moment, the hour, the minute, just prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the church needs to get back to the Word. The Word. Get back to the Word and fully grasp all its truths. Fully get into every part of the Word of God. As Psalm talks about, its doctrines, its precepts, its commandments, its line upon line, to get into the Word of God and know the Word of God and get the Word of God in us. And guess what? Just to be like James says, not only hear the Word of God, but be doers of the Word of God. Amen. Jim, have you got a song for us in conclusion? So I think that it's my time, it's your time, it's our time. So what are we going to do with our time? Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you that in those 33 years that you came upon planet Earth, you showed a dedication, you showed a fortitude, something that we all need to get into our lives. You were on a mission. You came to seek and to save that which was lost. And God, you even went to the cross to seal the deal in such a way to bring us to that salvation. So I pray this morning, Lord, maybe something has shaken some of our theology this morning. Something has touched our hearts and our lives in some way that has demonstrated to us that we need to change. God, there's always room for change in our lives. And I don't know, I think sometimes we just waste a lot of our time doing nothing. I think that we as a church, we need to get back to the place saying, God, what can I do? What can I, this is, your time is done. This is my time. It's our time as a church. Lord, what could we do for you? Who can I talk to? Who can I go to? Who can I share the good news with? Who can I just bring that great message of Jesus Christ to? Lord, who in my life? Who can I share with? Lord, help us to make available the time that's allotted to us in this life, to take it to the fullest and to impact others around us with this great message of salvation that you've given to us. You've saved us. Help us not to keep it secret, but to share the good news with somebody around us. God, help us. Jesus, it's our time. It's our time. It's our time. It's our time. Hallelujah. As Jim shares his song, if you want to come and spend some time, maybe you want to repent. Maybe you want to say, God, forgive me. I've been blowing it a lot lately. Maybe you just want to come and just wait upon God and say, God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Maybe you want to come and say, God, there's something I don't believe in the Word of God. I need to open my heart, my eyes, my life. Open up to the Word of God, and if there's something written there, it must be there for a purpose. So God, help me open my eyes, my heart, to understand. Maybe you need to come and just say, God, I want to be better. I want to do better. I want to be more into the influence of others around me. I just want to bring Jesus. I don't know, maybe there's a need the Holy Spirit is talking to you right now, but just give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you do that? Hallelujah. Go ahead, Jim. That's right. Hallelujah. Jesus. Of it all. You're worthy of it all. Hallelujah. Jesus. From your all. Hallelujah. He deserves the glory. Can't get a better line than that. Deserves the glory. Everything that happens in and through our lives, it's not about us. Even though it's our time, it's all about Him. It's for His glory. It's for His righteousness. For His power. I mean, it's not about us. It's all about Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank You. Father, thank You how You speak to us. You work in our lives. God, we embrace You. God, as we're here in this church today, maybe some come to this altar. There's an impediment, something holding them back. Something's just got control of their lives and they don't have that complete freedom. It's always sad when we don't have freedom in church, the house of God. But worse yet is when we don't have the freedom outside the church to share Jesus. God, I pray, let freedom reign in this place so that freedom will reign outside of this place. God, we need to get the freedom in here. Freedom to repent. Freedom to turn to You. Freedom to say, I'm sorry. Freedom to say, God, I need You. Can't do it on my own. I need You. God, when we get this freedom here, it will launch us out into the deep and great and mighty ways. And yes, Your name will get the glory. Your name will get the glory. So I thank You, Lord. I thank You, Lord. I thank You, Lord. Pour Your Spirit upon us. Pour Your Spirit upon us. Hallelujah. 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 Can we sing it again? You are the worthy. Hallelujah. 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 He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy.
You're worthy of it all.
Yes, You are. Hallelujah.
You're worthy of it all.
Come on, tell Him. Tell Him He's worthy.
From You are all things. To You are all things. You deserve the glory.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Oh, yes, You are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Of it all. Hallelujah.
From You are all things. To You are all things. You deserve the glory.
Hallelujah.
Of it all. You're worthy of it all. From You are all things. To You are all things. You deserve the glory.
Hallelujah.
Worthy of it all.
Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. So, did you get anything? Did you get what you needed? Did He give it to you?